Very good. I've had a pretty cool weekend. I was planning to get away with my boys for a bit of a boys' weekend, but when the weather came in, it's great for everyone on the land, great for the Kings and others, but I didn't know what to do with myself, so I went out and bought Lego Technique. I haven't been into that like for, how old am I now? 30 years, anyway. Anyone into Lego Technique? It's unbelievable. I've been doing the fellas all weekend, the little guys, and Wes used to be into it, I know that. It's so cool, because like Lego, let's face it, really isn't that exciting. But Technique is the best. Have you guys got into it? Well, anyway, I've been looking over at the instructions all weekend. I've clinked my neck a little bit, so if I'm sort of turning like that, that's because of doing Lego with the boys. Hey, as a church, we really do value God's Word and the Bible. And we do, you've probably heard, you've been coming to Just Church, you hear us all the time talking about being in God's Word, reading God's Word, that we've got a church app and we encourage people to be into it. And I've got to admit that in my life, I haven't always been in God's Word daily, reading it. But when I have, it's always been a seriously big encouragement. And of recent years, I've been a lot more disciplined in that. And seriously, it's a game changer, I can just tell you. Now, it's the last thing you feel like doing, always. But we really do want to encourage you to do that. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about how we practically do that tonight, and then we're going to jump into a few other things. So, and I'll come to that PowerPoint a little later on, Simon. Hey, one of the things we do is encourage Just Church for us to spend time every day doing what we call a devotion. A whole lot of us do that in the mornings. Some of us do it at night. Doesn't really matter when you do it, but I reckon it makes sense to do a devotion in the morning. I'll tell you why, because when you start out a day, you have breakfast. I always look forward to that. I always eat a little bit too much of breakfast and get into it. But we devote time to our own bodies, to ourselves, to nourish us for the day. We devote time to, it's pretty tempting to get straight on social media, isn't it, and have a look at that. And we devote time to things we enjoy. If I could have the perfect day waking up, I'd just read political blogs. I'm a political tragic. Like The Australian, I go straight to the opinion section online and read what all the different commentators are saying. And like there'll be a news poll out tonight. I can't wait to see what happens with that. First thing Monday morning, I wake up. That's if I don't stay awake until 1 minute past 12, or actually 1 minute past 11 on daylight saving time, because it comes up an hour early. Like, I'm into it. I love news. I love political blogs. And it's cool. Anyway, some of you know what I'm talking about. For the rest of you, don't worry. Are you into politics? Well, not really, no. Oh, sport, yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, Joe, you know, you'd devote time to seeing what has happened in sport overnight somewhere in the world, in gridiron in the US or whatever you follow. Baseball, that's ours, hey? So we devote things to ourselves. We devote time to ourselves. Even getting ready, the whole hair and makeup thing. I know nothing about either. So, especially the hair part. Actually, I've got to tell you, look, it looks like I'm the only really bald guy here. So, I've got to tell you, it takes a little bit of time to be bald. You think, yeah, look, I've got it easy. But, you see, I haven't shaved here for a couple of days. And the reason I went bald is, Mel's looking at me going, what are you going to say? The reason I decided to take all my hair off is it grows in some parts, really thick. And when I go on holidays, I hate shaving my head. And other parts, it doesn't grow at all. And at the end of a holiday, I look like Krusty the Clown because it comes out in sort of funny spots. So that's why I shave it, so you should be thankful. It's a lot of work. I hate shaving, actually, especially when you've got to shave your head. But anyway, I've been a bit lazy today and haven't done it. But we devote time to all different things, don't we? And so it makes sense to devote time to Jesus in the morning. We devote time to putting on deodorant. I hope we do anyway. These are important things. Seriously, if I didn't put on deodorant for the day, it'd be an absolute disaster. And for all of us, if we didn't clean our teeth in the day, think of that. You know, you start getting ulcers because you don't clean your teeth. That happens sort of in the day, but then if you leave it too long, you're going to have big dentist bills. To keep your chompers good, you've got to clean your teeth. So it's essential for health and hygiene. We devote time to ourselves in the morning as well. Our faith needs work like our teeth. And our character needs a bit of, you can almost call it like godly deodorant. Every day, otherwise we might notice a little bit of bad smell of jealousy or anger or different attributes come into our life, if you take the analogy. And a little bit like deodorant, you can kind of get away with it well, I couldn't, but you could, some of us could get away with it for a day or so, but if you leave it a week, you're in big trouble. The same thing is actually with devoting time to God. I find the longer you leave it, the more difficult it is. And actually, then you start to realise that trap, that you start to even think you don't need it. And that's really scary, because everyone else thinks you smell and you don't realise you do. And it's a little bit like in God's Word as well. Hey, I've got to say, just for the gents here, for us men who find it particularly hard to take a few minutes out to read, especially, you know, a lot of men, I don't want to just stereotype, but we're action-adventure people, you know. When I wake up in the morning, apart from reading a few political blogs, I'm ready to get into the day. Hey, like, I've got things to do, things to achieve, business deals to be done, whatever I, you know, want to do. And it's hard to read at the beginning of that. It's the last thing I feel like. That's probably why I've struggled over the years. But for us guys, it's really important to do it. Hey, when we talk about a devotion, what am I talking about? Excuse me. Well, three things really. If you can just remember these, it's about reading God's word, it's about reflecting on what you've just read, and about praying to God. It's as simple as that. So every day, excuse me, that was a wild cracker for communion. Stuck in my throat. I'm all right, Liz, I won't need a drink. It'll be good. Thank you though. So to read, reflect, and pray. So what we do encourage you to do in the starting of that is to have this church app. We're going to do something a bit different tonight. Who here's a core team leader of Just Church? Up your hand. Well, I'm just going to get you to stand up for a minute. Hey, great to have Jess back, by the way, back from the US. Hey. So what I'm going to do is hopefully everybody, what I might get you to do, Nicole, is to go over this side as well, so we've got a little bit more of a balance on this side. And I want you all to get out your phones. And I'm assuming that everybody who's a core team leader knows all about the church app, right? We're just going to do a little bit of a check and take 5 minutes right now to see if you have the church app on your phone. If you don't, all these people standing up, come near somebody and who's standing up, and we'll help you put it on your phone, because it's a bit tricky. We'd love to get a more simple church app. You don't just Google, or you just don't go to the App Store and look for Just Church. But if you don't have Just Church app on your phone, now's a great time to do it. We're going to actually take a couple of minutes, and I'm going to get back to my message. So, and then it'll all make sense why. So, yeah, take a couple of minutes if you just see somebody around. Okay, well, we're going to get back into it. Everyone with me? Everyone's with me? Awesome. Okay, so on that church app, for those of you who are very newly minted to the church app, there's a great thing on there, which is our reading plan, right? So every day as a church, we try and read things together. And it's pretty awesome, because then when we go to small church, we can all share from what we've been reading together. And we do that through BYO. And then the messages with big church are often on the church app. And it's a really good discipline to do it all together. And what's even more awesome is that in our small little church, we've got the resources to actually write a devotion most days, which takes a heck of a lot of work, by the way. And this month has been done by Rach. Stand up, Rach. Come on. I know you did communion, but give her a hand. Okay, well. But what a terrific thing. And let me tell you... Rach is one of the newest little babies here in the church, so, and one that hasn't been the best sleeper, I tell you. We've had five kids, and I'm sure we had one as tough as yours to begin with. So pretty full on to then turn around and be able to do a reading plan for a whole month for all of our church. So isn't that awesome? She does that, and I love that out of actually really busy life situation, Rach, you've found time to put God first and be a blessing to the whole community. So well done. But we've been cruising along in the book of Mark, and then all of a sudden today, for those of you who followed along, so we've been reading the book of Mark all week, we hit a psalm. And I think, what the heck? Why have we thrown a psalm in the middle of the reading plan? And we've been doing this a bit with Just Church, hey? If you've been following reading plans along, we're sort of cruising through Ruth, and then all of a sudden we hit a psalm. And, you know, I think that's all good. I haven't written any of the reading plans. I don't want to criticize, but psalms kind of... are a bit random to me. I know we just sort of throw them in. But I do want to talk about Psalms today, so I'll go to that first slide. And so it seems to be a pattern that we're going to be doing with Just Church is bumping into Psalms, and we do reading plans. So I thought, well, let's talk a little bit about Psalms and how we read them. So I'm not going to be talking about the book of Mark, which is what we're in tonight. We've got an opportunity to do that at Small Church with BYO and those of us who bring things from Mark. We're going to talk about the book of Psalms. Now, Psalms to me are a little bit of, I'd say it's a difficult book for me to read, honestly. I'm going to be really honest with you. It's probably one of my least favourite books to read. Now, for some of you, it'll be the exact opposite. Just to give you a little bit of background wise, I love fiction fantasy stories, right? So who's read Lord of the Rings? No one? Yeah, surely someone's read them, yeah. I mean, I love those sort of stories, right? And I'm actually reading, just in my spare time at the moment, another really great fiction fantasy story. The parts of those that I really don't like, if you've read Lord of the Rings, is you're going along and there's some big war or some big thing about to happen or a chase or some really exciting part of the book, and all of a sudden Tolkien, the author, will take you to like a verse or a song or whatever, and I just skip straight over it. I think they're totally useless to read. I mean, why read those bits of the book? You know nothing's going to happen. It's just a poem in the middle of an adventure story. Like, how ridiculous. And Psalms is kind of like that. See, songs that kind of don't make sense. And I just want to skip over them. So honestly, when I come to Psalm 91 today in the reading plan, Rach, I went, yep, skip over it. That's how I feel like. Then I thought, I've got to speak tonight. What am I going to speak on? So I'm going to speak on Psalms. They can be, if you don't mind me saying, just a little bit emotional. Psalms. Now, the book of Proverbs, on the other hand, now that's more a book I can relate to, right? Short sentences, that helps. Words of wisdom, do's and don'ts, just practical advice. You don't have to read between the lines. There's no sort of, what do you call it, when something, analogy, or oh, I can't even say the word. It's simple, it's effective, it's just straightforward advice. Proverbs is it's a practical book. I reckon that's why Michael McCarthy likes it. Michael is Just Church's most eligible and practical bachelor. But, you know, you like the book of Proverbs, don't you, mate? Yep, he's a carpenter, and it relates to many of us men. Psalms, though, is more like attending art class or something, I reckon. I wrote down here, Proverbs is sort of like the chicken palmy and Forex gold for dinner. Psalms is like the smashed avocado with breakfast with triple shot macchiato with soy milk. Not really. Which I like both of those things. Not the soy milk part. So to the people who are going to do the reading plan for the next few months, I'd like to just have a request, if you don't mind. If you're going to throw in a psalm, can you put in a proverb? And I'd like to take a church vote. So who wants a proverb in the reading plans? Anyone? Yes, Michael's in. Great. Who just wants psalms only? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, there we go. A couple of takers. Good on you. Seriously, though, Psalms is a great book. And if we're to keep reading them, I thought, let's cover some basic tips on actually how to read Psalms. It's a sort of book that you kind of feel you don't need a lot of instruction on how to read it. But I've really enjoyed doing a bit of a study on how to read them. So the next slide. Thanks, yep. Oh, that's the last and the next slide altogether. That's it. All Psalms are pretty raw and emotional. We are emotional people. We have feelings. Our lives are heavily impacted by circumstances, by what is happening to us. And Psalms is really the only book in the Bible about emotions and circumstances and how people feel. It's extraordinary how it's so different to the rest of the Bible in this regard. In a lot of the rest of Scripture, it's stories or it's theology like Hebrews and Romans, and it's really gritty stuff. Proverbs, we've talked about, has advice, but Psalms is all really about feelings, really about human emotions and the human condition and how people are feeling in various circumstances. I actually have 24 examples to give you, and before you think, oh, he's snapping ducks. 24 points in a message. We're going to be here all night. It's going to take 2 minutes. So you ready? Here's some more feelings and emotion-based things of Psalms. So it covers loneliness. I'm a lonely and afflicted. Love. I love you, O Lord. Or let all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of him. Sorrow. For my life is spent with sorrow. Regret. I'm sorry for my sin. Psalms covers contrition. Says a broken heart, broken and contrite heart. you'll not despise. Discouragement. Who gets discouraged sometimes? Well, Psalms is a book that covers discouragement. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Even the writer of Psalms questioned his own discouragement. Shame. Shame has covered my face. Exaltation. In your salvation, how greatly he is exalted. Marveling. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Joy. When you're happy. You've put more joy in my heart than when grain and wine abound. Gladness. I'll be glad and exult in you. Fear. Hang on, I've made a mistake in what I've written here. I said, serve the Lord with ear. I think I forgot the F. Fear, serve the Lord with fear, not ear. Angry, be angry and do not sin. Peace, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. Grief, my eye wastes away because of grief. Desire, O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. See, these are all emotions and feelings. Hope, let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us. Brokenheartedness. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Gratitude. I'll thank you in the great congregation. Zeal for the house, for your house has consumed me. Pain. How many of us experience pain in our lives? I'm afflicted and in pain. Confidence. Though a war arises against me, yet I'll be confident. Psalms is a book that gives vent to our emotions. It reins them in, it shapes them, it frees them up, and it also explodes them and kills them where they should be killed, like anger and other emotions that aren't right. So when we read the book, like Mark, or even more so Hebrews or Romans, books full of doctrine and teaching, Psalms are absolutely amazing pause in the middle of it. So thanks, Rach, for putting Psalms in the middle of Mark. They're a rest. Psalms exist because in our life it's not just enough for us to know about God and know and understand God. We don't just need good doctrine and good theology. That's really important, by the way. It's really helpful. It's essential. But we need to learn to express the goodness of God, what he's done for us, express the emotions and gratefulness, and to exalt him, to be thankful. So when we read the Psalms, remember they're songs and poems. They're raw, they're emotional, they're there to express feelings, and they're all part of circumstances, many of which we face today in our own lives. Just put here, reading Psalms helps us learn that in our lives we should do the same. If people like David, one of the writers of the Psalms, could express such incredible feelings, gratitude, thankfulness, remorse, regret, the whole gamut of everything, discouragement through to joy, and he could do that before God, then if somebody like him, who was just so close to God, if he could do it, then it's certainly an example for us. So for us to express our circumstances and emotions to God, it's a really great thing, and to do that in our devotions and throughout our life. Psalm teaches us to do this with gratefulness and an understanding of goodness of God, of the goodness of God. So, secondly, we'll go to the next one. Thanks, Simon. Discover, if possible, who wrote the psalm. Now, there's a fair bit of debate about who wrote some psalms. Some are really obvious who wrote the psalms, and some scholars have had to take a really good guess, and sometimes no one has a clue. But despite popular opinion, David didn't write all of the psalms. He definitely wrote some, probably a lot of them. But lots of them, he just sang them. He was kind of like a covers dude, David. He would, you know, like a covers band in a pub. Wes plays in a covers band. And, you know, the great thing about covers band is they only sing songs that are kind of like proven hits that really work. You know, when you, doesn't matter how good a band you go and see live, they're always going to play a few B-sides that aren't that great and a few tracks that aren't excellent. But a covers band plays all the great ones. And that's what people think that really is what David did, is he picked up great songs from the Jewish tradition over a very long period of time. People like Moses wrote psalms, and then David would re-sing them. So he was kind of like the ultimate covers guy doing these psalms. So today's psalm, Psalm 91, was probably one of those covers psalms. It was probably written by Moses, and it's really helpful to know that, because if you've read Psalm 91 today, you'll find that there's a whole lot of things about trusting God and God being our protector. And that makes perfect sense when you realize that Moses, who had to trust God, and he needed God's protection, but also the Israelites that he was leading out of Egypt needed God's protection in an incredible way. The whole psalm makes more sense when you read it like that. So I really encourage you to. I just Google it, by the way. Can't always trust Google, but it's pretty good. Google who wrote Psalm 91, and it came up. It was probably Moses and a whole thing on Wikipedia, and if you can believe that, well, it sounds interesting, but no, it's good. So I encourage you to do that. Look up who wrote the Psalms. As I said, you won't always know. Here's an interesting thing. David himself did write Psalm 51, though. This is an example why it's really helpful to know who wrote it. Because in that psalm, David says, amongst a lot of other things, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Remember, this is King David who sinned really, really badly. He'd lusted, he committed adultery with another man's wife, then essentially had that man murdered. About as bad as you could get. It makes sense that he would say, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away from your presence. Knowing who wrote it, knowing some of the background circumstances to that is really helpful. Okay, we'll go to the next slide, Simon. So the third thing about reading Psalms is that unlike our modern-day songs and poems, which start with a verse and the main subject happens and the chorus comes later with this more substantial bit of what it's all about, Psalms are totally opposite. And Psalms, basically, you can tell what's going on in the first few verses. So this is a bit of a practical way. Pretty much doesn't matter what psalm you read. They're all within the first couple of verses. You know exactly what it's on about. You know, like modern day songs, especially love songs, and I hear them all the time at Gavin Bar Homestead. You know, Ed Sheeran, and he starts off and he sort of fluffs around in the verse and has a few things to say, and then you get to the chorus, you kind of know what he's going on about. It's actually a little bit like some of our worship songs today as well, and songs we sing. You know, you don't really know what's going on until the chorus. That's kind of the main part. So you do a few verses and whatever, but the exact opposite with Psalms. Psalms starts with what it's all about. Let me give you an example. Really famous psalm, Psalm 23, starts, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, the whole psalm then is about God being a good shepherd and a trustworthy God, a trustworthy shepherd for us, his people. Psalm 18, just to take another random psalm, starts with, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Essentially, the whole psalm is about loving a God who is strong, who's a rock in your life. And today's psalm, Psalm 91, is an absolute classic for this. Just listen to how Psalm 91 starts. It's a really well-known psalm, so I know a lot of you will know it. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." This is a psalm all about God protecting his people. For thousands of years, actually, this psalm or song has been known as the Protector Song. In fact, translated literally, that was what it was called even before Jesus' time on earth, the Protector Song. So remember, it was written by Moses. It makes total sense when you read it. So remember, when reading psalms, look for what the psalm is all about in just those first few verses. I recommend actually just rereading the first few verses normally when you start a psalm, every single one you start, and it'll really put in your mind exactly what the psalmist is trying to say. So the fourth thing in helping us read psalms, the next slide, thanks Simon, is to consider the personal application. Scripture's always like this. We always consider and reflect on the personal application for us, and psalms is no different. So virtually every psalm has a personal and devotional application for us. You know, Psalms are a unique book, even in Jewish religious tradition, and then, of course, in Christian tradition, Psalms have always had a real center place in everything we talk about. Psalms are some of the most well-known passages and verses of the Bible. Even people who aren't Christians often know bits and pieces of Psalms because it's navigated its way through pop culture and various things. But Psalms is really essentially an amazing prayer book, and that's how it's meant to be used in many ways. they're really a tool to help you, to help me, to help all of us express our heart for God and to actually show that God isn't just some distant God who has no intervention in our life, but God is a close God who we can express our thoughts and our emotions to. You can imagine a modern-day psalm for somebody who's in some of the driest parts of New South Wales and is trying to make their living off the land in the worst drought. You can imagine them, if they're writing it, it'd be an anger at their situation and am I going to be absolutely desolate and what's happening with my cattle and how can I feed them and will I have to shoot them and, you know, all of those things that go around in these lives, an absolute a sense of giving up, and then when rain comes, a sense of gratitude and gratefulness to the Lord because he is the provider. You can imagine that every life story that we have, and it's really obvious with people who are in the extreme drought at the minute, you could translate that back. But in our own lives, just think of it, you know, the difficulties that we have. Psalms teaches us to express our thoughts honestly to God. I mean, what sort of God is it that you can actually tell him how you feel? I'm a bit worried about something in my business world at the minute. And the fact that I can wake up tomorrow morning on the first day of the week and take to the Lord how I feel and just say, Lord, I feel really worried about this. I'm fearful. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I mean, what a God that you can do that with, that you can all do that with no matter what you're facing in your life. When we read Psalms, it's a really great way to just remind ourselves how to talk to God. Pretty simple. Okay, we're going to go into the next thing. Almost done here. But the fifth way to read Psalms is to realize that the book of Psalms is actually prophetic. Now, what do I mean by that? The word prophetic can be used in all sorts of ways, and for some of us it'll be a new word. It just means, really, in this context, that Psalms foretells the future actually of Jesus. And there's some pretty incredible psalms. For example, Psalm 22. It's actually a really shocking psalm in many ways. It's a shocking, graphic prophecy of Jesus' crucifixion. So throughout the psalms, we can see, and remember, they were written many, many years before Jesus came. Throughout the psalms, we can see a witness of Jesus' nature. And it is incredible that we read a book after Jesus to discover Jesus, but a book that was written before Jesus. Isn't that cool how God works? And we can learn about Jesus' character in the Psalms, even though it was written before Jesus. So they were looking forward, we're looking back, and we learn all about his character. So when you read a psalm, just this one little thought, question if the psalm is talking about Jesus. Now, they don't all, but most of them do, and they certainly almost all talk about his character. Next slide. So this is the last one. Sixth way to read a psalm is to know that no matter where a psalm begins, the psalms always end with a profound sense of hope and confidence in God's faithfulness. Such an encouragement to us, it is such an encouragement to us to realize that regardless of what goes on in our life, we're going to have hope and confidence in God. This is the real personal application for us. Take today's psalm. Check this out for a hopeful ending. Now, I'm going to read this out. This is Psalm 91, and ends like this. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, what an ending to a song. Back to those Ed Sheeran wedding songs. Man, I hope Ed Sheeran goes out of fashion, by the way. When you're in a business, it plays over and over again. My goodness. Anyway, those of you who love Ed Sheeran, good on you. God bless you. But they, you know, his songs, you know, they don't end as the best love songs in the world. The best songs of whatever it is in the world don't end like that. I mean, just put it in language that applies to you individually. And I'm going to pick on Joe Nathan. You're looking sharp tonight, by the way, Joe. I'm going to reread that just with Joe Nathan's... I'll just say Joe because I'm going to have to say your name a few times. Is that all right, Joe? Yep. And then just think of, every time I say Joe, think of your name inserted in here. So whether it's Wes or Jess or Jess or whoever it is. Because Joe loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I'll protect him, for Joe acknowledges my name. Joe will call on me and I'll answer him. I'll be with Joe in trouble. I will deliver Joe and honor Joe. With long life, I'll satisfy Joe and show Joe my salvation. Hey, just before I finish tonight, I do just want to pause on this. This thought on how you're going with your faith. Do you have that hope and confidence? That because you love Jesus, you have this hope and confidence that God will rescue you, will look after you in trouble, will deliver you, will save you, that your future's assured. I know most of us here are Christians and we'd all say yes to that, but sometimes I just wonder, does our hope and confidence in Jesus just slip a little bit from time to time? Mine certainly has over my life. Are you worried about the business deal that you've got next? I'm guilty of that. You're worried about what you're going to do next year, study, education, worried about finance, about health. Maybe you're not worried about things, and maybe you have a hope and a confidence in Jesus for your life, but you've kind of been disgusted with yourself. You've done things that you regret. You've let others down. You've been prideful or angry. Do you have hope and confidence that Jesus is bigger than all of that and will actually protect you and rescue you from yourself? Do you wish you could love more, serve more, be less angry, as I've mentioned? Some of us might be just feeling flat and need an injection of faith in Jesus. And I love that how a psalm ends, because really for us, that's how we should begin and end every season of our life, every day of our life, if we can. But just to remind ourselves in the hope and confidence we have in Jesus, regardless of the circumstance around us. And right now, I'd just love it if we could all just maybe shut our eyes. And I'm not going to ask anybody to put their hand up or stand up or come out the front. But I do want us just to pause and reflect. Practically, when we don't have hope and confidence in God, there's a whole lot of things we stop doing. Often we stop reading his word. We find ourselves not praying to him. We find ourselves not wanting to be around other Christians. We sort of drift away a bit and things are difficult. That's some of the practical outworkings, but the real thing I want to address tonight is the heart of the issue, is that do you have your hope and confidence in Jesus? As in Psalm 91, today's reading has ended up with, and all the Psalms do. Because that's all we can have our hope and confidence with. And I'd just love it if you could ask that question of yourself tonight. Just going to pause and just have a little bit of silence without me speaking. I'll be asking that question myself as well. Do I have hope and confidence in Jesus? Is he the thing that I'm hopeful and confident of? Not in anything that I can do or achieve or study or earn or be seen to do. Have hope and confidence in him. Let's just reflect on that now in life, just for a few seconds. Now, tonight's not about responding to me or to anybody else. Just as a church leaders, we want to journey with you and pray for you. You know, the Bible talks about spur each other on in love and good deeds. And part of that is when we're challenged on something like this, if Jesus is central in your life, we want to walk with you. And if there's things in your life that are a distraction, we want to be able to pray for you. We really care. We want God's best for your life. But today's not about making a response to me or to anybody else. It's a response to Jesus. And so often we look for, in our lives, if we've got things we're struggling with, we look for others to solve it. Well, others can't solve it. Jesus can. So Heavenly Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name knowing that you want the best for our life. You've done incredible things. We're so grateful. And yes, as we've learned in Psalms, we can be honest about our feelings and honest to you, Lord, about anger we feel or disappointment or sorrow. We can be honest about fear. We can be honest about anything, Lord, that we're facing. But we know that how this story ends, and it ends like every psalm does, with confidence and hope in you because of what you've done, Lord Jesus, on the cross. Thank you that you promise so much in this life, but also salvation for the next life. And so, Lord, just for anybody here, Lord, I just pray that you forgive us, Lord, individually, for not putting our hope and confidence in you. Thank you that you draw us back. Thank you that you're always there with open arms for us. And so, Lord, as we go about this week, I just pray that each and every person here will have a renewed confidence, a renewed hope in you. You have plans and purposes for our life, plans and purposes for your glory, that we can play our part in serving you. Lord, thank you so much for your encouragement, for your word, for your prompting. Lord, thank you for your church. Thank you for each other. Thank you that we do life together. We just ask for everyone this week, and as we go ahead in it, that you be with us. And we do thank you also for the rain of the weekend. Just pray for drought-breaking rain for those who make their living off it as well. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, so this week, get on the church app. Everybody here has it. That's great. Go to the reading plan. Read God's word. And when we bump into a psalm, know a little bit more how to read it. I don't know which one we're bumping into next. One of us will know. No? Rach should know which psalm we're bumping into next. Which one is it, Rach? She doesn't remember. No, that's all right. Hey, thanks again, Rach, for all you've done. And am I handing over to you, Joe, am I? Very good. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.